First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Before I point this scripture out to you, I want to say to you that people have this idea that preachers or God's children are really wasting their time nowadays trying to talk sense into people, trying to get them to believe God is alive and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He'll heal your broken body. God will look out for you financially. Just blessings. And they think we're a little foolish because they don't see what they've been reading in the Word. And so they're going to base their experience now of God by their own experience. Well, I prayed for that and that didn't work. I prayed for this and that didn't work. And so they're basing their opinion on their experience. But God is, and we'll find that out soon enough. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it should say, no eye hath seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, those things that God has prepared for those that love him. I did not forget about you. I got you. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, those things that God has prepared for those that love him. Listen to this. That's Paul writing now. Judas saw Jesus feed the 5,000. Judas saw Jesus heal the brokenhearted. Judas saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. Judas saw the daughter of the centurion raised from the dead. Judas was with Jesus when blind Bartimaeus was on the side of the road and cried, "Son of God, have mercy on me." Judas saw that. But Judas got a little greedy. Seeing the miracles wasn't good enough for Judas. He was tempted by the Pharisees, those religious folks. And they said, we want the Lord. And this is what we're willing to give you if you can deliver Jesus Christ into our hands. 30 pieces of silver is all he thought Jesus was worth. 30 pieces of silver. Jesus' life was worth only 30 pieces of silver. I want you to get that because when he went up to kiss Jesus, one translation says that Jesus says friend, still call Judas friend. Knowing what he would have to face now, he still called Judas his friend. Whatever you're coming to do, do it quickly. Judas, betrayest thou the Son of God with a kiss? Not even a sword? You betray me with a kiss. Not everybody who's walking with you has your best interests at heart. The truth of the matter is, all of us have a Judas in our life. People who want to come up next to you, get real close to you so they can get what you got. Their motives are in the wrong place. They just want to be with you, Glenn, because of who you know. They can care less about your real relationship with Christ. It's what you can do for me. Everybody has a Judas. What do you do with a Judas? Jesus loved him till the end. That's how you treat him. A Judas will keep you honest. Now, understand this now. I'm not talking about Judas. That's not my message this morning. I'm just pointing this out as a foundation. Judas goes out now because he realizes he's done wrong. He realizes he has just betrayed the Son of God. So he can't deal with the pressure. He can't deal with going with the 11 other disciples and saying, "I've gone wrong, I've done wrong." Judas goes out into a field. and kills himself. That's how Judas' life ended. Now we go to the book of Acts, and in the book of Acts, you'll see that the 11 disciples now think we've really got to replace this position. No eye hath seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man those things that God has prepared for those who love him. So the old boys now, the 11 disciples, Sister Jackie, we gotta replace the position of Judas. This is apostolic now. And this is the first time the disciples get to make a decision apart from Jesus Christ. You remember now, Jesus has already died and gone to glory now. So now they're about to make a decision, their first decision they'll make without him. The Bible says they cast at lots. And these two old boys that were with Jesus, you really never hear about these guys. One's name is Joseph, and the other name is Matthias. You getting that, Pete? You with me? How daddy doing this morning? Okay. Joseph and Matthias, Reverend Graham, these two boys were there when John the Baptist was preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." They were there when Jesus started calling the disciples. They were there watching the miracles take place. So they were there the whole time. But you don't hear anything about them. So now they've got to make a decision. Long story short, they pick Matthias. They pick Matthias. The 11 disciples. You know, well, we got to have this meeting about who we're going to get, who we're going to pick. We got to have this meeting. We got to get this done. A little confusion took place because out of all the people, the masses of people, they brought two. I think it was like 70-something guys they had to choose from, and they went through all that, and they brought two. In the meantime, while the disciples are trying to find out who God wants to fill the position of Judas, God really ain't thinking about that. Sister Jackie, God ain't thinking about that. While they're trying to pick people who know about the church and who was with Jesus in the beginning, while they're making all that noise, God's making another decision. And it ain't got nothing to do with Joseph and Matthias. While they're speaking in tongues and dancing and shouting, God out somewhere picking an old boy everybody's scared of. He out dealing with Paul. He wasn't looking for what the disciples were looking for. He was wanting to get somebody radical. Somebody out there. Paul was the Osama bin Laden of the church in those days. Osama bin Laden didn't take bombs and blow people up. He had other people to do that for him. But he's responsible. You will never see Osama bin Laden somewhere in the Middle East take a bomb and put on himself like others would do and go blow himself. He wouldn't see that. He had other people that would do it. He was in Afghanistan in Tora Bora making plans for 9/11. He did all that 8,500 miles away in the hills of Afghanistan. Paul would blow you up. Paul gave the go-ahead, Saul at the time, but he would give the go-ahead to cut the heads off. Paul will give the go-ahead, take them and burn them at the stake. That's who God called. And it disturbed the church. Because while they wanted someone who knew beauty, God was looking for someone who would be radical. No eye has seen. They didn't see that coming. Nor ear heard. God never talked to the church about calling Paul. Neither has it entered into the heart of mankind those things that God has prepared for those that love him. If God told you what he really wanted to do with you, you wouldn't believe him anyway. And I think a lot of times in our Christian lives, we shoot too low, we aim too low when God wants us up here. So God calls Saul, and he has an experience with Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. He was in Tarsus, and Jesus Christ called Paul. The scripture we just pointed out, Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and nobody saw that coming. God himself wants to take you and do something with you special. But who's going to believe it? You have to surround yourself with people who believe what you believe. You act like who you hang around. You have to put yourself in a winning position so that God can do something with you when it's time to do it. Listen, if we're on a team and one of the players get hurt and you're on the bench trying to put your cleats on, your shoes, that won't work. We don't need you. You should have been ready while you were on the bench. You putting on pads and shirts, that's not the time to suit up. When it's time to go, it's time to go. When the coach looks down the bench, he wants to see that you're ready, not putting on your stuff. You don't start saving money when hard times are here, when the sun is shining. That's the time to do it. Nor I have seen, nor it heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man those things that God has prepared for those that love him. God needs people that love him. That love him. There was a fellow I remember stopping. He was speeding real good, and I remember stopping him a little piece back. And I got to the window, and I started talking to him, and I said, sir, you know, you're getting pretty good. You got your driver's license registration with you? He handed it to me. You got your registration with you? I said, okay, no problem. No problem. We got it. I go back and write him a warning. And I come back to the car, and I says, sir, this is just a warning. Here's your driver's license. He looked and just exploded with tears, just bust out crying. I left him on the side of the road, just crying. And the Lord says, Noel, you never know what people are going through. I didn't stop to ask. But you never know what people are facing in this life. They look good. They smell good. But I'm telling you, God himself wants to do something with you to touch the people's heart. That's his heart. Osama bin Laden never came to the United States. But he would give words to terrorists all over the world to go do this against such and such and this and that. Jesus Christ doesn't have to be here physically to have his people do good things. He just needs people that love him and are willing to be used by his hands. A good word spoken in due season is better than anything. Just to hear, it'll be all right. It ain't over until God says it's over. All right. No, I have seen, nor ear heard. Now, I had to get special permission. This is my prop. Y'all know I don't do props. But I figured Pastor Van can do it. I can do it. There was a fella in Afghanistan. We just thought, Glenn, this dude was weird. He was a weird dude. He used to be a U.S. Marshal. He would fly all around the world as a police officer on these long international flights. He was a crazy dude, man, weird dude. I would speak to him, hey, so-and-so, and he'd just look at you. And his mom would send him all of these boxes of lipstick and lady stuff, makeup. I don't know the names of you ladies know what I'm talking about, but she would send him boxes and boxes and boxes. And I say, I knew it was something about him. that's just me. I knew it was something about him. He better stay way over there. He better not come over here. So I'm talking, you know. And we would go get mail one day, and there would be more boxes for him. And mom would say, I love you, you know. That happened, baby, I'm telling you now. And we didn't know what he was doing in that bedroom, at that dorm over there. We didn't know. And one day at breakfast, we were sitting there before we would go out to these locations over there, and said, man, somebody was talking about all his makeup stuff. And he says, well, give me a picture, and I'll show you what I do. So I gave him a picture one day. I said, show me what you can do. You're a weird dude. No eye hath seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man those things that God has prepared. You cannot see. For about 3 weeks, I never saw what he was doing in his bedroom. The only thing I knew is he had a picture of my wife and I. Didn't see him. Didn't really even talk to him. Hey, man, you got my stuff? 3 more weeks. That's all he would say. Hey, man, you got my stuff? 2 more weeks. And behind closed doors, he was doing some stuff. And he did this. He did this with that makeup that he sent his mom, that his mom would send. But he did that for me. Gina and I, this is makeup. This is not paint. Right? So it's a hidden talent he has. And I told him, you got my wife looking better than me. You need to go back and do something. Right? But he would do that behind closed doors. A gift and talent misjudged. The only thing we knew was this guy was getting a lot of makeup. God will choose foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Because his gifts and his talent, he didn't need paint. He learned to do that with makeup when he was a little boy. With his fingers. Very rarely did you see him pick up a brush. I've seen him work. I was in his room one night when he was doing it for another guy. Everything you see, he would do it with his hands. Everything is like he's playing the piano or something. The lips, he would just, and then every once in a while he'd take the brush just to. If he can do that in the natural, then what can God do for you? How would God use you? We keep this in the house, but it reminds me not so much of what it is, it's how he did it that gets me. Right? I'm going to cover it back up, baby, I promise. Jesus Christ loves you this morning. That's all I came to tell you. That he cares for you. There are some things that he's doing that you cannot read about in a book. What he wants to do with you, I don't care how old you are. You can't find it in anyone's library. You can't really talk to anybody about it because they haven't heard it. Neither has it entered into someone's heart. They can only tell you what they think. God will show you what he knows. That's the difference. Did y'all get anything out of that? My sister. Yes.
They say that I have nothing, but Lord, they are so wrong.
Yes.
In my heart. Oh, I wish they could see.
Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this time. I ask that you be with every last one of us this week, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ on one another. Lord, I pray that your fresh oil of knowledge and wisdom will go before us, Lord. We ask that you open doors that no man can close, Lord, and we know that you'll close doors that no man can open. We love you this morning, Father. We appreciate you so much. We'll come back and say what good thing God has done for us. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless y'all this morning. Love y'all.